from the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet. And about the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses. So please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information. Because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in the dragon at the road blockade. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, keep that pencil and paper handy, and we'll give you that contact information later on in the latter half of the show. Get right on into eco news here. Action news from the front lines. Dutch eco-activists burn railway construction equipment. Early in the morning of June 17th, eco-activists in Holland set fire to a barn containing three earth-wrecking machines, which were being used to build the Betuwe Line. The barn and machines were totally destroyed. The Betuwe Line is the controversial new railway line linking the industrial areas of Germany and Holland. And unfortunately, we've got news from Oregon here. Logging protester hurt in plunge from treetop. Second activist arrested on a charge of hindering police officers. An environmental protester who had been sitting in a treetop platform at the Eagle Timber Sale apparently fell from his perch and was taken by helicopter to a Portland, Oregon hospital Sunday, June 23rd. According to the Legacy Emmanuel Hospital, the man, whose name was not released, had a cut chin and was released from the hospital the same day. The Forest Service said that a second activist, identified as Silas Murphy Ellis, was arrested at the protest site on a charge of hindering officers who went to the scene to aid the other activists. Environmental activists have been camped out at the Eagle Timber Sale in the Mount Hood National Forest for a couple of years now, trying to prevent logging there. Some of the activists have been staying in platforms, which they call pods, suspended from trees. Early Sunday morning, protesters called 911 to say an activist had fallen from one of the platforms, the U.S. Forest Service said. Officials from the Forest Service, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, and Sandy Police Department went to the scene. Along with local emergency personnel, the Forest Service said a man was found lying on top of a pod, said Glenn Sachet, a spokesman for the Forest Service, who added it was not clear how far he had fallen. The man refused medical treatment and attempted escape, according to a news release. After displaying a worsening medical condition, the protester was evacuated to Emmanuel Hospital, and this story from the Associated Press. Gotta watch it there, folks. Stop falling out of trees. There's a couple of people falling out of trees here in the last couple of weeks. Let's move to Idaho. And this is the Buffalo Field campaign update. Idaho officials capture four wild bison and transport them to Yellowstone. Four wild bison were captured in Idaho and transported to Yellowstone National Park today in an operation conducted by the Idaho Department of Agriculture, Department of Fish and Game, Highway Patrol, and the Fremont County Sheriff's Department. Shortly after 8 a.m., three of four bison that were grazing to the west of Highway 20 near Island Park were shot with tranquilizers, loaded into a livestock trailer, and transported to the park's west entrance near West Yellowstone, Montana. The fourth bull was captured at 10 a.m. and transported to a service road inside the park where the trailer holding the other three was waiting. Citizens were prevented from witnessing the release. At 1:30 today, all four bulls were released near Grants Pass. Idaho maintains a zero-tolerance policy for bison entering the state. In past years, bison migrating into Idaho had been shot and killed because of fears they could transmit brucellosis to cattle. According to park biologist John Mack, there has never been a documented case of a bull bison transmitting brucellosis. Brucellosis, by the way, causes abortions in commercial cattle. However, they don't affect buffalo the same way. Buffalo Field Campaign volunteers have been standing with the four bulls while they had been out of the park to protect them and document any actions taken against them. Buffalo Field Campaign activists witnessed the capture and videotaped the bison as they were tranquilized and dragged into the trailer. "They could have killed them if we weren't out here this morning," said Buffalo Field Campaign volunteer Valerie Coulter. "Idaho didn't want to be thrust into the bison slaughter spotlight with our video footage of them killing four bulls." Elk, also known to carry brucellosis, are allowed to move freely between the park and surrounding areas, stated Buffalo Field Campaign spokesperson Dan Brister. "But the minute a buffalo steps out, it is either killed or pushed back into the park." Jim Cofield of the Ecology Center Incorporated in Missoula, Montana, said the presence of these buffalo in Idaho, so far from Yellowstone's boundary, lays bare a fatal flaw in federal and state bison management plan. "The buffalo are a migratory species. The plan dictates that bison remain inside an arbitrary boundary. Kowtowing to the cattle industry's dictates that they still want control of the West. As the salmon swims to the sea and the goose flies south for the winter, buffalo should be allowed to migrate to their ancestral feeding grounds outside of Yellowstone National Park." Buffalo Field Campaign volunteers defend the buffalo on their traditional habitat and advocate for their protection. Buffalo Field Campaign is the only group working in the field every day to stop the slaughter of Yellowstone's wild buffalo. "Our summer outreach programs are going well. We have spoken with many people in Yellowstone National Park. We are still shorthanded, though, so if any of you have at least 2 weeks to spend in Yellowstone National Park or the Grand Tetons this summer for the buffalo, please contact us. We encourage volunteers for shorter periods, too, but to table it takes a good week to read all the background information and get trained in. When we have enough people here, we can dedicate some time so we can begin the Tetons tabling. Thank you for all your support, encouragement, and prayers for the buffalo, the Buffalo Field Campaign, and you can contact them at Post Office Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. That's Buffalo Field Campaign, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758, and they could use any or all donations. If you want to call them, tell them you're coming, dial 406-646-0770. That's 406-646-0070. Or if you want to send email, it's buffalo@wildrockies.org, buffalo@wildrockies.org. You know about the rainbows? Well, I'm not talking about the ones in the sky. I'm talking about the ones that travel into the various places and camp over the 4th of July period. And here's a story about the rainbows. Environmental groups ask rainbows to steer clear of salmon. Two environmental groups are sending representatives to the Bear Valley in the Boise National Forest to urge followers of the rainbow family to steer clear of sensitive salmon spawning habitat. Two Indian tribes have already said they're worried that the expected 20,000 people at the gathering will damage sacred fishing grounds. And while rainbow family people have said they will avoid sensitive areas, Forest Service officials say they've already moved into them. Idaho Rivers United and the Idaho Conservation League say they're going to talk with people at the gathering and post signs along the creeks and distribute flyers asking them to protect the resource. According to an email from a rainbow family member, "The rainbow family has great respect for Mother Earth. Unfortunately, the drainbows, those people who show up at the gathering just to party, don't. We do our best to discourage drainbows from going into eco-sensitive areas, but since the family has no central authority, all we can really do is say, hey, don't do that." And Uncle Dennis adds his voice to that chorus. "Hey, don't mess with the salmon, you family, rainbow people." Also happening over the 4th of July period is the Round River Rendezvous. This is the annual gathering of the Earth First Tribe. And they are asking all who come to the Round River Rendezvous to honor the following principles: an undying love for wilderness and biodiversity, a commitment to the defense of wilderness and biodiversity, a commitment to nonviolence, and a respect for sociocultural diversity within the movement that defends wilderness and biodiversity. Round River Rendezvous 2001 will be, among many other things, a linking of our past with a new beginning for the future, a reunion of yesterday's heroes with today's warriors, and the inspiration for tomorrow's. We look forward to seeing you. The dates for the Round River Rendezvous, July 7th through the 16th in McCain Meadows. That's adjacent to the Little Grays River in the western foothills of the Wyoming mountain range, east of the town of Alpine, Wyoming. And to get there, take Highway 89 to Alpine. Turn east along Grays River until you get to the Little Grays River, and about 8.5 miles out of town, and then you stay left on the Little Grays River for about 12 miles. There will be signs. $15 to $50 donation is requested if you want more information. Basically, send email to Seymour Labia. That's Seymourlabya at hotmail.com. And this is all brought to us by Tiwanat Earth First. And they can be reached, if you want to send mail, but it's probably a little late, to Box 1588, Wilson, Wyoming, 83014. That's Tiwanat Earth First, P.O. Box 1588, Wilson, Wyoming, 83014. And once again, that email address is Seymourlabya at hotmail.com. And the Tiwanat are the indigenous ones who gave the Teton Mountains of far western Wyoming the hoary-headed fathers. Anyway, oh, Uncle Dennis, we'll see you out there. Here's a call to action. Defend the territories. No justice on stolen land. Stop the logging. On May 2nd of last year, grassroots traditionalists within the Stahmik Nation reoccupied a part of their traditional territory at Sukilau or Melvin Creek. The settlement stands in the way of a $55 million ski resort, which is planned for that area by Nancy Green Rain, an Olympic gold medalist, and her husband Al Rain. Though, through the permission of the British Columbian government in August of last year, environmental assessment approval gave the final stamp to the development, but the machines have been halted by Sutakaw. The people of Sutakaw have remained strong in their stand and continue to resist the genocidal Canadian government against before the situation erupts into another Oka or Gustafson Lake, two recent police military assaults against Native people in Canada. Come to Sutakaw to stop the logging of the sovereign Stahmik territory. People are asked to gather at the camp beginning Saturday, June 23rd. When enough people have come together, we will take action to defend the sovereignty of the Stahmik nation and the life which shares the land with us. In particular, video cameras or other media technology are urgently requested. These resources are scarce and essential to the documentation and safety of the people. The support we need is endless. We do not have financial support from anybody. We need building materials and things to help us sustain ourselves. We need help letter writing and with paperwork. Most of all, we need people to spread our word. We foresee all kinds of negative thoughts and actions taken against us. We will remain here on our lands forever like our ancestors. We will hold our position as long as people can support us being here. People can help by keeping informed at all times or by dropping in to visit the community at any time. And I'll give you directions in just a second. We welcome dialogue of all kinds with all people in support of life, the Sutakaw community leaders. How to get there? Sutakaw is 3 hours north of Vancouver. Take Highway 99 from Horseshoe Bay. The camp is located beside the road, 50 kilometers past Mount Curry and a few minutes beyond Duffy Lake. If you want more information, you can call Rosalind at 604-894-2400. That's 604-894-2400. Or you can send an email to Box 309, Mount Curry, Little Watt Territory, British Columbia, Canada, V0N2K0. Once again, that address, it's Box 309, Mount Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, Little Watt, L-I-L, apostrophe, Watt, WAT territory, British Columbia, Canada, V0N2K0. And these folks really need your help. Okay. Here's an action alert. Here's an event you may want to attend as a protester or an activist. The International Symposium on Ecological and Societal Aspects of Transgenic Forest Plantations. This event is an industry sponsored, and it's important to have as many people from as many conservation groups as possible there representing the other side of the story. Once the trees are released, they will contaminate surrounding forests and downstream ecosystems and upset the ecological balance of forest communities. Once done, it cannot be recalled. We are organizing a large response to an upcoming conference on transgenic trees to take place in Stevenson, Washington, at the Skamania Lodge from July 22nd to the 27th. Skamania Lodge is about an hour east of Portland on the Columbia Gorge. To connect to the website for the Genetic Engineered Tree Conference, go to www.gaaget.org and click on the events link. A small number of people have started to organize. Please join with us in voicing and organizing our opposition to the development of transgenic trees on July 21st and 22nd. And I guess it goes on through the 27th. Over the past few years, many companies and universities have field-tested genetically engineered trees and are planning to release them into the wild on a commercial scale soon. Genetic engineered trees not only carry new genes, but they also carry unpredictable effects and dangers to the environment. Whether we are campaigning on genetic engineering, logging, environmental justice, wilderness, patents on life, loss of biodiversity, and indigenous cultural or globalization, genetic engineering of trees affects all of these issues. Trees are the oldest and largest organisms on the planet. Some of them have genomes 8 times larger than the human genome. We cannot and should not alter their genomes that have developed and adapted to the environment over millions of years. Already we have seen that experiments with transgenic trees have gone wrong, creating serious negative impacts on the environment. Let us not wait until genetically engineered trees are grown commercially all over the world. We have to let the public, the industry, and the universities know that we will not sit and watch while until genetic pollution from transgenic trees covers our forests. Once the trees are released, they will contaminate surrounding forests and downstream ecosystems and upset the ecological balance of forest communities. They cannot be recalled. To read more on the dangers of genetically engineered trees, go to www.gaaget.org. That's G-A-A-G-E-T. Or you can go to gaaget@gaaget.org. That's the Global Alliance Against Genetically Engineered Trees, Gaaget. And have a nice webpage. It needs a little more work, but it's getting there. And in other news, roadless areas in the Tongass rainforest of Alaska face immediate threats. Right now, the Forest Service is planning to log thousands of acres on Gavina Island, just west of Ketchikan, right in the heart of the Tongass National Forest. The Gavina Island timber sale would log thousands of acres of old-growth rainforest from the heart of 37,000-acre roadless area. It would clear-cut up to 37 million board feet of irreplaceable old-growth forest and build almost 22 miles of new logging roads. In a June 7th directive, the new Forest Service Chief Dale Bosworth stated, "The Forest Service is committed to protecting and managing roadless areas." At the same time, Chief Bosworth took responsibility for deciding whether any road building or logging project would be allowed in roadless areas until the next round of forest plans are complete. It is time to put his commitment to the test. Send a fax to Forest Service Chief Dale Bosworth, the number 202-205-1765. That's 202-205-1765. Urge him to stop the Tongass rainforest sale on Gravina Island in Alaska. That's part of the Tongass National Forest. And moving to the Bitterroot Forest in Montana, help stop massive post-fire logging operations in the Bitterroot National Forest in Montana. The Bitterroot National Forest is pushing a massive post-fire logging proposal for forests burned in last summer's wildfires. The magnitude and potential of post-fire logging proposal is staggering. Up to 280 million board feet of timber are on the chopping block in the Bitterroot National Forest Burn Area Recovery Plan. This is over 2.5 times the amount of timber that was sold from the entire Bitterroot National Forest in an 11-year period, or enough to fill 56,000 log trucks lined up for 475 miles. To make matters worse, the logging proposed is in environmentally sensitive forests that are already well into their natural recovery process. Regional conservation groups and the Bitterroot Valley residents have united to develop a recovery plan for the Bitterroot that will facilitate true recovery while resulting in no additional damage. Our conservation and local economy alternative is driven by and consistent with recommendations of the scientific community and will proactively address the following needs. It will facilitate the natural recovery of burned areas, work directly to protect homes, provide direct opportunities for local residents in Ravalli County, protect clean water and fully functioning watersheds, prevent the invasion of noxious weeds, restore wildfire into the forest ecology outside the wildland-urban interface, improve the scientific understanding of fire ecology, and improve the public's understanding of fire ecology and forest management. Take action. They encourage you to spend a few minutes to compose a letter to the Bitterroot National Forest in support of the conservation and local economy alternative. Once again, that's the conservation and local economy alternative. Below is the important information that should be included in your letter or email. Your name, address, and phone number. Your letter addressing the Burned Area Recovery Draft Environmental Impact Statement, or DEIS, that you support the conservation and local economy alternative. The recovery plan should not result in any further environmental damage. Every freestanding and downed tree plays an important and essential role in the natural recovery of a burned area. Dead trees are not wasted resources, and the scientific community has established that post-fire salvage logging provides no benefit to the post-fire forest and may in fact damage fragile soils, remove essential biomass, exacerbate the spread of noxious weeds, and destroy natural regeneration. Address your letters to Mr. Craig Bobzien. That's B-O-B-Z-I-E-N. Mr. Craig Bobzien, District Ranger, 1801 North 1st, Hamilton, Montana, 59840. Once again, that's Mr. Craig Bobzien, District Ranger, 1801 North 1st, Hamilton, Montana, 59840. Or you could send email to CBOBZIEN, that's CBOBZIEN at fs.fed.us, and your letters and email need to be there by July 16th. Moving on into news, the native plan rules out logging in British Columbia's Elijo Valley. The Squamish First Nation has released a draft land use plan that rules out further logging in the controversial Upper Elijo Valley, site of some of the most violent clashes between loggers and environmentalists in British Columbia. And if the Squamish vision for their traditional territory prevails, the wars over logging in the region could be over, said Joe Foy of the Western Canada Wilderness Committee. The land use plan is the first concrete indication of how the Squamish Indians view the forest within their traditional territory, a region stretching from Port Moody in the southeast to Gibson's in the west and Pemberton in the north. And we want to thank the Vancouver Sun for that story. Moving just south into Washington, Washington finds green forestry certification too costly. On June 8th, the Washington Department of Natural Resources held a hearing to consider Forest Stewardship Council certification for much of the state's forest. Forest Stewardship Council is an independent organization set up to promote greener forestry practices. FSC has provisionally approved the certification of 1.5 million acres of the state's western forest, about half the state owns. The provisions include having the agency wait 75 to 80 years between logging cycles instead of the current 60 years, making old-growth areas that have been temporarily protected into permanent reserves, doing inventories for certain wildlife and habitat types, and asking the Department of Natural Resources to hire more field biologists and law enforcement. If the Department of Natural Resources and the Board of Natural Resources choose to make the improvements needed to meet the certification conditions, state trust forests and the wildlife, fish, and water in them will be better protected, said Becky Kelly of the Washington Environmental Council. However, she also expressed concerns that some conditions might not be stringent enough and that 900,000 acres of ecologically sensitive forests in eastern Washington were not included. Some environmental groups across the country have made it their policy not to support partial certification, fearing that an owner might could look green by certifying parts of their land while increasingly logging in other areas. After considering the changes, however, agency officials concluded the changes would be too costly and told the Seattle Post-Intelligencer that certification will not happen anytime soon and that it does come at an awkward time. The agency currently has a proposal on the table to increase revenue from state lands by opening up 85 spotted owl buffer zones to logging. It's not what they tell you, it's what they don't tell you. And we're going to take a little break here, get into some music, and be back in just a little while. We're going to listen to a group called An American Parody off their CD, This Time With Feeling. And this one's called This Land Is Our Land.
This land is our land, it is not your land. From the Transamerica Tower to the ghettos of Harlan, from the Maquiadores to the Exxon Valdez, this land's our manifest destiny.
As I was stalking all pockets of poverty for an abandoned warehouse, I should make my property. I'll let the artists bring in the yuppies. Yeah, this ghetto will make a profit for me.
This land is our land, it is not your land. From the Transamerica Tower to the ghettos of Harlan, from the Maquiadores to the Exxon Valdez, this land's our manifest destiny.
There's a river that's flowing, I've got to dam it. All these trees are worth more if the forests are ancient. Gold's in these mountains, I've got to mine it. Oh yeah, this land will make a profit for me.
This land is our land, it is not your land. From the Transamerica Tower to the ghettos of Harlan, from the Maquiadores to the Exxon Valley, this land's our manifest destiny.
It was a peaceful culture, and I had desirable property. Oh yeah, I signed some treaty, but that ain't gonna stop me. No, I've tricked and murdered their land, I plundered. Don't stand in the way of profit getting to me.
This land is our land, it is not your land. From the Transamerica Tower to the ghettos of Harlan, from the Maquiadores to the Exxon Valdez, this land's our manifest destiny. This land's our manifest destiny.
Stay tuned for more Earth First Radio.